let's bow our heads and pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you for everyone who is here, those who said that they couldn't be and are watching online. God, we pray that you would reach us all and touch us with your words, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. With our Bibles in our hands, keep on confessing. Let's say this. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I will have what it says I will have.
We are part of Deliverance Temple.
We are part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love by.
Where we love by.
Living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God,
feed me your word.
If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Amen. Grateful for those of you in the building as well as those of you online. I'm going to start off with this title today, and it's called, Is It Real? Is It Real? Is It Real? That's the question that we're posing, and we're going to try to work through that this morning and give us something. Let me pause and say that this is not connected to the message, but I had a dream this morning, and it was several of us. I've seen several of us in the dream. Not sure what it means, but we were all trying to go on a cruise. We were all together trying to enjoy ourselves, but there was a whole lot of chaos happening, but we were pressing through the chaos so we could get to the good part. I don't really know much about exactly. I didn't see everybody delivering simple, but I seen a lot of our faces, and so I was kind of praying about that, but then God gave me this sermon. So I don't know if they're connected, but I will say I do believe we got to work through the chaos to get to the other side.
Amen.
And I believe that just because blessing is in front of us doesn't mean chaos is not going to try to get there. But sometimes you just got to overcome to get to where you want to get to. Like anytime you go on vacation, there's a lot of times a lot of chaos, whether it's packing your bags, whether it's getting everybody in the group chat, out the group chat, and actually on the vacation, or talking to the person that sometimes we're booking. Sometimes it takes a lot to even get to what you're trying to get to. But I want us to understand that that's part of the process. So anyway, that's just a side note. Just it was in my heart. I wanted to share it. So I want to put this word up here, and we'll define it. It's the word counterfeit. Made in exact imitation of something valuable or important. Here's the key, with the intention to deceive or defraud. So counterfeit is a purposeful trying to portray one thing, but really being something else. So the question is it real? All right. So let's throw this up here. And so this is what I learned. I first learned it from my father, who talked about watching a program about it, and then I've since learned a little more. So counterfeit money training, especially with the Secret Service, starting off with them and then on into other places, one of the first things they do is they don't introduce any counterfeit money to the people they're training. First thing they do is they consistently show them the real. Show them the real over and over and over, feeling it, smelling it, touching it, seeing it. And then, only then, after they've seen the real over and over, only then do they introduce the counterfeit. Because once you spent so much time with the real, The counterfeit just sticks out. It just, something about it is not right because you've been with the real so long. Going somewhere. So let's put this up here. I'm gonna be a little more transparent than I normally am on Sunday morning. I do this sometimes on Bible study, but how did I got here? How did I get to this that I'm getting ready to teach you? Number one, starting off with the dream that I don't know if it connects or anything. I woke up with the dream, and then sometimes God has talking to me all week long, and then I'm putting something down into my computer to preach. There's other times where there's nothing. I don't have anything at all. And so I'm waiting till Sunday morning. So this is one of those times I don't have anything at all. So one of the first things I woke up to was a text about some of the events that happened last night. So I made the call that I need to call. And so the first thing I did, I went into prayer. But then I was thinking, man, I got to preach too. And I don't have anything. Just sitting at my desk, but I'm waiting on God to download something. I don't make up sermons. I wait to hear what God is saying. And so this is what I heard. It's a phrase that I've heard before, but I didn't have any context to it. So put this phrase up. It's a phrase that's called, "This revolution will not be televised." So that had dropped in my spirit, and I immediately knew it wasn't just a random thing. I need to kind of figure out what this is. So I immediately went to Google to say, where does this phrase come from? What is the meaning of this? Found out that it happened to be a poem, a spoken word poem, written and spoken about 1970. And the purpose of what was being said is that they were saying, you're not going to be able to sit on the couch and watch this on the television. This revolution is going to have to start from the inside. In other words, you're not going to be able to watch somebody else catch it. It's going to have to start from the inside. And what the poem was saying is that it's not going to be televised. It's not for social media. It's not for the crowd. It's for the personal.
Hallelujah.
It's for the real. And that's when the message title dropped in me, is it real? So it brought also a couple other things to my mind. It brought to my mind this, a conversation I had with my son, Draylen. It put that in my head. It was something, a conversation I had with him this week. So since Draylen is 18 years old, he's going into college. He's just graduated. The conversations I need to share with him need to be a little more elevated. And so I was talking to him and just challenging him not to have basic, I didn't say it in this way, but this is basically what I'm getting at, not to have a church face and then have another face when you're away from the church.
Right.
Growing up as a PK myself, I know it was like to make decisions and realize, okay, I don't want to bring shame to mama and daddy. So instead of not doing it, I just tried to be more sneaky about what I was going to do. I'm still going to do it, but let me try to be a little sneakier about it. So I was challenging Draylen not to live that way. You're getting old and you're getting grown, and there's going to be that temptation to just have a life over here, and the way you were raised, only do that when you're in our presence. This ain't just a Draylen issue. This is a everybody issue. We all have gone through it and dealt with it. But something, it was interesting that he said to me, it was funny, he texted me something, and he said, basically what I was saying was a little unkind. And I told him, don't take it personal. I said, I have the same worry about everyone. I worry that what I preach, the people don't really live.
Yeah.
So now I'm coming away from Draylen, and I'm coming to us. I told him something I normally don't tell y'all, but the truth of the matter is, the very thing I worry about him, I worry about all of us.
Yeah.
I worry about what I preach from this podium. Y'all really don't live it when you leave the doors. Now, here's the thing. Y'all don't live with me, so I don't talk to you about it because y'all not my children. He's my son. I could talk to him about it. But let me be honest. One of the greatest fears of a preacher, a real preacher, a real pastor, is I do all this listening to God to pour into you. And then you walk out there and you're going to do what you want anyhow.
Help us, God.
Now, here's something else I got to add to it. It's not just you. I worry about that myself. Because God gives me stuff to preach. But just because I'm preaching don't mean I'm lining up to it. So even Paul said it this way. He said, I'm going to paraphrase. He said, basically, I don't want to save everybody else and be a castaway myself. So here's the challenge for all of us. What we talk about, what we praise about, what we amen to, yeah, when the lights are off and Sunday's
hallelujah
gone, do we really live it?
Hallelujah.
Is it really real? So that's the question we're working with today. Is it really real? Now, let me jump to my dream for a second. I still don't know all of it, but there are some people that go here that I didn't see in my dream. I wonder, are they on the same ship that we're all on? Everybody that's with you is not with you. Sometimes life will tell you who's with you, who's not. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to worry. I'm trying to make it myself.
Yeah.
But God has tasked me with preaching to the people. And so from that conversation with Draylen, also from the this revolution is not going to be televised, I see that God is speaking about living something real. And so here's the third thing that got me here. Something that I posted on Facebook just 2 days ago, and I said this, I said, performative Christianity is at an all-time high. But I was wondering, how can I even explain what performative Christianity is? And so I put that word into AI to see what AI would spit out. And I'm going to tell you what it spit out, and I'm afraid we got too much of that going on. I'm not saying necessarily just here at Deliverance Temple. I'm talking about the body of Christ at large. But let's look at what it means to have performative Christianity. The first one is this: engaging in religious practices like praying or tithing, primarily when others are watching to gain social clout or reputation for holiness. In other words, as the young folks say, I'm doing it for the gram. Meaning Instagram. I'm only doing it as long as there's a crowd. I'll tithe as long as somebody's watching. I'll pray as long as somebody can hear me. But what I really feel in the recesses of my heart, I ain't really caring about none of this. In other words, I'm putting on a performance. I'm putting on a show. One of the reasons why I'm challenging Draylen, because at his heart, he's an actor. And so what I'm saying is, don't take that actor anointing and just use it for the wrong things. Putting on a show as long as you with certain people. In other words, if you are with Pastor Andre, there's certain things you're not going to do. But as long as I'm over there in Woodbridge or I'm over in Marion working, I'm going to do what I want to do. But here's what I want you to understand. Pastor Andre is not God.
Amen.
No, I can't see you, but God can. Let me flip it so it's fair. What about Andre Mitchell doing things that I wouldn't do in front of the congregation? But even though the congregation don't see it, God sees it. So the question is my relationship with God all about a performance, or is it real? All right. Let's go on to the next one. It spit out to me. This is an interesting one. Mastering a church lingo or using hyper-spiritual vocabulary without actual personal practice. How you doing? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. You know what the Bible says, but that ain't how you live. You only say that on Sunday morning when people are talking to you. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. If you grew up in the old church, people are giving a testimony, they have it memorized. But just because you can memorize something don't mean you live in it.
Amen.
Here it says it's a mastering this. All right, next one, Then we're going to try to walk through some scripture. Exhibiting intense religious devotion on Sundays while acting with cruelty, dishonesty, or complete lack of neighborly love during the rest of the week. Now, I got to drill down on this just for a second. This reminds me of what we call Christian nationalism, which is a love for the nation, which is not necessarily wrong. God has placed you in a place you should love and honor your nation. But then there's been a political movement to move it as if it's a Christian godly thing. And that's fine as long as it's lived out. What the problem is when the devotion is big on Sunday, but through the week you can't find the Christian traits. It's one thing to have Jesus on your bumper sticker. It's another thing to have Jesus in your heart. I'll give you an example of it. And because of the way social media works, some people hide behind the keyboard. And so there was this man who happened to not have a face. It was a grayed out face, but he was talking about people. Happened to be the black congresswoman, Jasmine Crockett, who is a black woman, but she's very vocal and she's openly Democrat, very harsh on some of Trump and his policies. So there's this guy who's calling her all kinds of names. And I'm just going to be honest, calling the C word, the B word, the N word, everything else. And she's sending it directly to her email, but her email's automated. So it just sends a response back saying, if you need to get in touch with us, X, Y, Z. Somebody else decided to do a little digging. And they found the real person on LinkedIn. So in the other thing, they had the fake face, but they found the real face. The real face had a scripture under their profile and had a picture of their wife and talking about a good father, good dad, loving this, and a scripture underneath. I think it was Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. And so the person who did the digging said, I wonder, does your wife know you talk to people like this behind closed doors? So, see, here's the thing. I can pretend I'm a Christian when you're looking. But when you're not looking, I can type all kinds of stuff. All right, so this is just a story I heard. But forget the story. Let's bring it on home to us. How are we when the lights are off? How are we when nobody's looking? What do you really say about the pastor when the pastor says something you don't like? In the church, that's my pastor, preach pastor, but what do you really say when the lights is off? Oh, here's the thing, I love pastor, but I can't stand his wife. Well, what do you really say? Here's the thing, I can't control anything. I can't judge anybody, but God sees it all. And the question we got to ask ourselves, is it real? All right, so we have, now we're going to make the distinction later on. We have moments of flesh. We have moments of mistake. We're talking about people who are building pretense. In other words, we're not talking about those of you who have moments. You do things wrong and you feel bad about it. We're talking about people who are building up a look so they can hide behind something else. That's what we're talking about. So here, let's look at Matthew 7, 22. Let's bring it real close to home. Read.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?
Look what it says, perform. Perform. They thought that they were going to get in because of their performance. And here's the thing that's scary. Because of the people's need, God will sometimes get in the performance. Do you know that there have been faith healers on television that were nothing but jokesters? There was nothing true and real about them. But do you know some people still got healed? Because God looks at the needs of the people. But at the end of the day, these folks came and said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. All right, look at verse 23.
Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Wait a second. It don't look like they're doing evil. They're prophesying, they're preaching, they're praying. Miracles are happening, but this is what God says. I never knew you. I never had real relationship with you. Everything you did was a performance. Everything you did was for the crowd. But when the music fades and the lights went off, you didn't have a real relationship with me. So depart from me. That's to me one of the, as a preacher, that's one of the scariest verses in the Bible. Because can I be doing all of this and still be lost? Well, here's the beautiful thing about this congregation. Built into our vision, the vision statement, the very first part is connect with our Creator continually. That's step number one. In other words, as a leader, I can't preach to you if I haven't personally connected with my Creator continually. That's not something I can do just on Sunday morning. That's something I have to do away from here. Do you know when we go on sabbatical and I'm away from the place and I'm on vacation, do you know I'm still required to connect with my Creator? Because He's the one who breathed life in me. He's the one that saved me. He's the one I trust to sanctify me. This cannot be a plaything and a play game because lives are hanging in the balance. I've got to connect with my Creator on a continual basis. I can't be doing what I'm doing just for the show. All right, let's look to put this up. Is it how you performed or is it who you knew? We're gonna show a difference. These people, this is something Jesus said. Now, Jesus was speaking prophetically of the time of the end of the age. But then let's go and look at something that happened in Acts. Let's look at Acts 4:13.
When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus.
This is the greatest compliment a believer can ever have, is these folk have been with Jesus. They may not be the most educated. They may not be the smartest. They may not be the cutest. They may not be the wealthiest, but they've been with Jesus. And here's the thing that was going on in that time. The disciples were moving with a power that the religious folk didn't understand. And one thing they could tell, I can't tell how theologically sound they are, but I can tell these are the folk that have walked with Jesus. Let it be said of Deliverance Temple, these are the people that have walked with Jesus. They may not do everything right, but I can tell they spent time with the Master. The question I have for you this morning is, do you know Him? Do you know Him for yourself? Do you know Him above grandma and grandpa? Not just daddy's religion and mama's religion. Do you know Him for yourself? Here's the thing, when you know Him for yourself, nobody can take it from you. Here's the thing, if you take the mic, you take the organ, the drums, if you close this place down, I still serve Him because I know Him for myself. Because one day in a dorm room while I was by myself, God showed up and rescued me and pulled me out of the sin I was in. I know Him for myself. Oh, I understand the song now to say everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Everybody ought to know. You can only tell people what they need to know when you know it for yourself. Please don't waste time impressing me when you could be getting close to Jesus. Don't waste time quoting scriptures to me. I done read the Bible 15 times, and I still don't know it all. So you quoting scriptures to me is not going to impress me. What's going to impress me is when I can tell you've been with Jesus. I've met some folk that been saved here recently. that don't know all the scriptures, but you can tell the anointing is on them. You can feel it when you hug them. You can get next to them. There's something about them. They're getting close to Jesus for real. I'm tired of play church. Is it real? Is it real? All right. Let's go on and get into some more scriptures. Put this up here. Four things to know to make sure it is real from John chapter 3. John chapter 3 has a very famous verse in it, but I want to back up and give us some more context to the whole thing. So number one, acknowledgement is not enough. Acknowledgement has the word knowledge in it. Now Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 does say, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct thy path. Yes, that is true, but that is a detailed acknowledgement. But this is what I want to put it this way. Head knowledge is not enough.
Amen.
There's a lot of people who know about the Lord, but they don't know the Lord.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who know the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible.
Yes.
And so just acknowledgement, just knowing, I hate to bust your bubble, just coming here on Sunday morning and Wednesday is not enough. Why? Well, here's a scripture that ought to sober us up right here. Verse 19 says what?
You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
Oh, I believe in God. Thank God. But the demons believe too. So that don't make you great just because you know about him and you believe in him and you heard about him, because the demons do that too. Look at what the next verse says. This is a famous verse.
But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?
Corresponding action to your faith. So if you really know him, you can't talk about Teresa like a dog without being convicted if you really know him.
Amen.
Especially if you have Teresa's number.
Yes.
How can you call Joyce and talk to Joyce about Teresa when you didn't have enough gumption to talk to Teresa about Teresa?
Amen.
It's a possibility you know about him, but you don't really know him. Now let me classify that. Sometimes there are people who are, let's give an example. Let's say Teresa is in a state where she's not listening, and you've tried to talk to her, and then you went to Joyce to pray about it. That's a different story. But a lot of people don't do that. We just dog people out, and then we come around talking about we love by living our vision every day. Quit quoting that.
Amen.
If you're not really loving. I don't want to be this tough and rough on y'all this morning. But this is one of the things I fear. I fear I preach love, but we really don't do it. Now, listen, we're human, so we're not going to like everyone. So somebody in the body may rub you wrong. I get that. We're human. But I'm talking about one thing I've learned is that if I can't go to you, then I'm not going to go to someone else about you. If I don't have enough courage to talk to Devin about it, then I'm going to talk to God about it and not nobody else. Because I want love to flow. Because this is what will happen. If I talk to everybody else, what I could do, I could be setting up division in the body. But I know y'all don't never do that, because y'all saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But many churches have been torn up from just little stuff. Big stuff and little stuff. So what does that mean? Faith without works is dead, meaning I've got to take the knowledge I have about God and I've got to work it out. I've got to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I got to put some actions to it. And so that sometimes that means I've got to pray. If I consistently don't like Donald, consistently, and I don't know why, then I need to pray about it. Because it's possibly God wants to do something in me. I can't just press past it, praise past it, give past it, preach past it, and never deal with
it. Amen, amen.
Never sit with it. Oh, yeah, it's tight, but it's right.
Right.
All right, so here's point number two. The real work is inward.
Yes, it is.
The real work is not for the show. It's not for the crowd. It's not for the members. The real work is in here. And guess what? What you find in here will not always be pretty.
That's right.
And you're going to have to keep coming back to God. I've shared before, I felt like I got delivered like an onion. And getting delivered like an onion. What I mean by that, there's layers. And so if you would have asked me 20 years ago, I would have said, I'm delivered from that. I thought I was until another layer came on. Oh, yeah. I got over my anger issues until I got married and realized I still had a bunch of anger left in me. And God had to deliver me from. I told you before how I punched a hole in our wall in our first home that we had rented. I punched a hole in the wall. I got angry about something. Me and her were arguing. Good thing I didn't punch her. I had enough sense not to punch her. But I turned, I hit the wall, put my hand right through the wall. That means I had to hit it with some force.
Yes,
and so I remember, thank God for my mother. I was preaching at that time. I wasn't pastor. But my mother said something to me. She said, you're going to have to get your anger under control. Thank God she didn't say, boy, you my son. And I know it's hard being married to a woman like that. No, she didn't do all that. She talked to me.
Amen.
About me.
Amen.
She said, you going to have to get your anger together. And I'm glad she went beyond that. She gave me some scriptures on anger. And I can't remember if she printed them out or she just gave them to me and I printed them out. But then what I did was once I got them printed out, I took them and I pasted them over the hole in the wall. Didn't fix the hole. I put the anger scriptures over the hole. That way, every time I pass the hole, not only am I reminded of my mistake, I'm also reminded of the solution. And I begin to quote those anger scriptures over my life. And I begin to learn how to get my anger under control. And thank God I was able to get more control over my anger. And guess what? I was saved the whole time. Just because you saved don't mean you don't have stuff in you that needs to come out. Not only that, my mother did that, but then my daddy, I had to talk to him. Like I said, I was preaching, so I couldn't just go by it. So I don't even know how she found out about it. I don't know if I told her, because sometimes when stuff happened in your house, you can just hide it. Nobody got to know. But she found out, and then ended up talking to my dad, and this was a separate situation. And so I'm talking to him, and he was counseling me. And then out of the blue, he starts to me talking about toothpaste. I'm sitting there listening to him, and then he said, Andre, what happens when you squeeze toothpaste? I'm like, toothpaste comes out. And he's like, what happens when you're down to the bottom of the toothpaste and you squeeze hard? I said, toothpaste come out. I'm thinking, Daddy, what are you talking about? Then he turned a corner and he said, when the squeeze of life is on you, whatever's in you is going to come out. What he was telling me is, I don't care how much you preached, Andre, anger's still in there.
Yeah.
And so since life has squeezed you, now it's coming up out of you.
Yeah.
Now here's what I could do. I could have got mad at dad. I could have got mad at mom. I could have stayed mad at Devin. Or I could have worked with the problem.
Yeah.
The only common denominator in all of those equations was me.
Yeah.
So guess who had to work? It's me. And guess who still has to work?
Yes.
It's gotten a whole lot better. I'm better with my family, better with my kids. But in traffic, it's that squeeze is still there. It's funny, but it's something I know I yet need to work on. So put point two back up. I'm telling on myself, but the real work is inward, saints.
Amen.
So it's not real if you won't do the real work.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we get frustrated, and then we just start saying things like, that's just who I am. That's just how I am. Yes, we know that. We know that's who you are. We know that's how you are, and that's why we know it needs to change if you're ever going to grow in God. Well, listen, I just say what I feel. Some people think I'm gossiping because you are gossiping. When I just tell the truth. Yeah, you tell the truth, but the Bible says we speak the truth in love. So the real work has to still be done. Let me get off of that. Let me go to this famous, this chapter where a famous verse is in, but I'm going to walk us up to that famous verse. Let's look at John 3.
There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee.
Pharisee, all right. Look at number 2.
After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you.
All right, I'm gonna touch that number 2, and I'm going to touch it in with the next point I want to make. So this is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, here's the thing about him. He was a part of the religious elite, but he comes to Jesus at dark because he don't want the rest of them to see him. And he makes a statement. He said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us because your miraculous signs. So that means the other religious people, they knew he was from God. They knew Jesus was from God, but publicly they wouldn't say it because they were afraid of losing their power. But Nicodemus came at night and told the truth. We know you sent from God. He didn't say you're the Messiah yet, but one thing we know you came from God because your signs and your miracles are too much. One of the signs and miracles that he did that sometimes is glossed over is right while the people were sitting there, they begin to think negative things about Jesus, and Jesus called it out before they even spoke it out. He said, I know what you're thinking. He told them what they were thinking. They were astonished, and they still went back and tried to figure out a way to not accept. Now let's look at verse 3.
Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you are not born again. So this is what Jesus does. He doesn't talk to Nicodemus about the other folk. He says this, unless you're born again. He began to talk. In other words, he began to say, this is an inward work. Yeah. I know all y'all see what I'm doing. And I know you're sneaking by night to try to talk to me. But I want you to know it's got to happen deep inside of you. In other words, it's got to be real with you, Nicodemus. Forget everybody else. I want to talk to you about you, and I want to give you a revelation that changed his thinking. You're going to have to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus was saying, wait a second, how can a man be born over? And that's when Jesus began to reveal to him about the Spirit, that the Spirit has to be born again. One of the worst things about faking this whole Christianity thing is that your inner man never gets born again for real. Never gets the rebirth and the new birth that it needs. All right. So let's look at the famous verse. Drop all the way down to verse 16. It says this.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting
this
life.
This is the famous John 3:16, but it comes on the heels of Nicodemus coming at night, and they go through this whole conversation, and then Jesus lays out the plan of salvation for him. He says, for God so loved the world. In other words, my Father loved everybody, and he sent me, so nobody has to perish. All they got to do is believe in me. So basically what he was proving to Nicodemus, all of this showy stuff y'all doing is useless. Only one thing that matters is if you believe in the one that God has sent. Later on, Nicodemus says, what must I do to be saved? He caught the revelation. All right, let's go on to point number 3. You can't secretly love darkness. So the verse doesn't stop. The chapter doesn't stop at 16. 16 is the famous one. But the next verses are important. Verse 17 is vitally important. So let's read that.
God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him.
God didn't send his son to judge the world. This is the most beautiful thing we can understand. The reason why you don't have to fake is, number one, God already knows. And number two, he didn't come to judge. He actually came to save. He came to deliver. So one of the things I learned and figured out, why am I faking when the one who already knows is one who's the only one who can help me? So why don't, instead of me going away from God, why don't I run to God? The only reason why you won't run to him is you secretly love darkness and not light. Where are you getting that from, Andre? We'll look at the next verse, next couple of verses. Verse 18. Verse 18.
There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son.
Look at verse 19. Bring it home there.
And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil.
Uh-oh. So here's the question. If it's not real, then the possibility is you love darkness more than you love light. And so the question we've got to ask ourselves, when I am falling into things, like me, when I was falling into my anger, the reason why I listen to mama and listen to daddy and follow their advice is because I really loved light more than I loved darkness. I really didn't want to be as angry as I was. I really wanted to be better. But here's the thing that some of us have to understand. Some of the folk we're counseling and helping, they don't really want to be better. They don't really want the light. And sometimes you got to create boundaries because folk don't really want the light. Just recently had somebody reach out to me out the blue. And I'm like, are you okay? I'm thinking you're okay. And they're like, I'm okay. The next thing I know, they asked me for some money. And I got to thinking, the last several times I talked to them, they always want something. They don't, I didn't hear, oh, your son did good. Congratulate. I didn't hear that. Didn't see him at the open house. When it's time to sow into me, I can't find them. But when it's time to sow into them, they'll call you at all hours of the night. It happened to be midnight. I just happened to grab my phone. Midnight, my phone ringing. And I'm thinking, oh, are you okay? I'm trying to make sure. Man, you got to be careful. Because sometimes people don't want the light. And let me help some of y'all. Some of the reason why folk don't like you, you look too much like the light. And ain't nothing you can do to make them like you more, because they love darkness more than they love light. Sometimes you just gonna have to figure it out. Now, here's the thing. I'm talking to my son, Drayden. Like I said, I'm sharing with him, trying to embrace him for adulthood. But if he gets to the place where he don't want to listen, he want to do his own thing, I've learned you got to back up. And you got to let God deal with folk who don't want to listen. Because sometimes grown folk who ain't really grown, they think they know it all. So you can talk all you want to talk. But when grown folk want to do what grown folk want to do, you got to let them get grown folk consequences. Yeah, I've been in jails preaching. And people come to me and they tell me, I thank God for you. You tried to tell me. I remember I had someone do that to me. I didn't even recognize them. I didn't even know who they were. And they thanked for me for telling them the truth. They said if I would have listened to you, I wouldn't have ended up where I was at. I didn't even remember them, but they remember, because sometimes the stuff you are speaking is prophetic. And the reason why people are living pathetic, because they don't want to receive the prophetic. I say this all the time, and it's not just about me. This church should always be more full than what it is.
Amen.
But people let any and everything keep them away. I thank God for the folk that tune in, log in. But some of the folk, you ain't that far. You could be in the house of God as well. And then you have all these issues and all this stuff going on. See, Let me go back to this. In the dream that I had, there was chaos, but we were still on the ship. We still was on the boat heading to vacation. Not everybody is even on the boat. And here's the thing. I can't pull you out your chaos if you won't get on the boat. Oh yeah, it's tight, but it's right. Here's number four. And you can't be afraid of the light. What does that mean? Let's look at John 3:20.
All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. Mm.
See, this is what makes us different from other folk. We know we're messed up, but we still get close to the light. Because I know, I believe only the light can deliver me. But then there's those other folk, they hate the light because they want to do their stuff in the dark. When I first, after 2020, and we had to change the way we were doing stuff, and then our online switched, and I started doing more online Bible study and less in the building. One thing, if it looks like I'm sitting up here, but if you've ever been in the building, I sit in the back, and I do it what they call green screen. So I sit in the back, and the camera's right on my face. And in that position, I see every pimple. I see every bump. I see every scratch, scar. On Wednesdays, I try to shave my head fresh so my head is shining right. But when I get in front of that camera, I see where I missed the spot. But here's the thing. I don't cancel Bible study because I got some issues. I keep doing it because I'm called to it. Even though the light is exposing some of my flaws, I'm called to it. I'm assigned to it. I can't quit it. I can't stop it. I just got to press through it. And some of y'all, you're not perfect. You'll cuss in a New York minute, but you're called to this thing. Something keeps driving you. It won't let you go because you're not afraid of the light. You're true to this thing. You're not new to this thing. You're true to this thing. It's down in your heart. Not too long ago, and I was just telling my sons about it this morning. I had a pimple on Tuesday, and I was like, well, I know I can use an old remedy I've used before to get rid of it by Wednesday. I put a little toothpaste right on the mark. Usually it goes away. Wednesday it had made a black scab. Now here I am, I gotta come in front of the thing with that little mark, and if you look at me today, that mark is still there. It's been here for months. I don't know when it's gonna finally go away. But here's the thing, I can't stop because I got a pimple. You can't stop because you cussed the other day. You get your hind end back up, come to the house of God, lay before God and be real. Ain't no need in playing and faking. This is who you are. This is what you deal with. But some of y'all are so real. I'll come broken if I have to. I'll come messed up if I have to. I'll come wore out if I have to. Because I just want more of God. But then there's the other folk who just play with it. So the question you got to ask yourself, is it real? Somebody say, it's real.
It's real.
Oh, real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. Real. Here's the conclusion. I don't want to take all day. Here's the conclusion. I can preach on this forever. Here's the conclusion. Put this up. Some come to church to hide. Others come to church to be exposed. Some people, when I have one of them tight sermons, they come and they say, thank you, Pastor. You stepped all on my toes. I needed that. In other words, I don't just come to church to hear everything I want to hear. I come to hear what thus says the Lord. So if you hit me, it's good. But other people come to church just to hide. In other words, I don't really care about the church service. I like the way so-and-so wear her dress. And I want to see her walk up for offering. That's the only real reason I'm coming. Well, God's going to start exposing people here for the wrong reason. If the pandemic didn't run the wrong, fake, phony folk off, I hope it will do it now. Do you know some people in some churches only come because they're secret pedophiles and they're looking at the kids? That's why we got to be prayed up and have stayed up and prayed up, because just because you got church don't mean the devil not showing up. Sometimes the devil loves him a good church service so he can mess stuff up. But the real ones, I'm not coming to hide. I'm coming to be exposed. I'm coming to be set free. And let me let you know something. The worst place to hide is at Deliverance Temple. That's the place you should come to get free. All right, here's Psalms 139. I'm going to read this. This is one of Bishop's favorite verses. Mine too. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Verse 24, "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David was so real, he said, "God, search me." If you know David, David was a mess. But he said, God, search me. If there's something in me, and some of us are still that way. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but God, search me some more. God, I lay my heart on the altar. I lay myself down because I know there's some stuff you still want to do in me. And God, I don't want to get in your way. I don't want to mess it up now. I don't want to blow it now. I was talking to my brother who was here over the weekend last week, and I was telling him, I said, I don't want to get this far and blow it now. I don't want to get this far and do something stupid now. I'm trusting God. He was thanking me for being the pastor that I am. And I'm telling him, forget all that. I don't want to mess up now. I'm not so concerned about what I did yesterday. God, help me stay faithful. Help me stay grounded. Help me stay real, God. God, bless me and touch me and change me. Fix me if you got to fix me. Touch me if you got to touch me. Because I want this thing to be real. I don't want to fake the funk. I want it to be real. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. Then we're going to go to our confession. This is something you've heard before. But I'll say it again. God blesses who you are, not who you pretend to be. God, let me add this. God delivers who you are, not who you pretend to be. So if we want the real God to do real things, we got to show up and be real people. We got to ask ourselves, is it real? Or is it margarine? Is it the real thing? Or is it imitation? Is it real? So that's the question I ask myself. Now here's the thing. Many of y'all, it is real. I can tell the way you move is real. But get closer. Get closer to God. Take this time to get closer to God. We don't want to just pray over the bullets that are happening. We need to understand that if the devil had his druthers, the bullets would have our names on it too. So get close to God. Get closer to God. Be where you need to be just in case your angel has taken a nap. I'm laughing, but I'm serious. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. And I don't see that many teenagers, so let me just call out my sons. Dylan and Draylen, do what you're supposed to do. Be where you're supposed to be, because the devil don't care nothing about taking you out. And don't let me just talk to teenagers. Let me talk to you grown adults. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do so the devil can't accidentally take you out. It's got to be real. Let's stand to our feet. Here's a confession. Repeat after me. Father God, I thank you that you help me have a real relationship with you. No pretense, no fake,
or phoniness. I'll say that again. No pretense. No fake or phoniness. And I pray that from now on, my only real concern will be pleasing you. Will be pleasing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you've given me to give to the people. And God, I don't know exactly who I'm talking to, so I'm talking to all of us. And God, if we can get closer to you and be more real with you, let us do it. But God, I'm asking that you would do something that I didn't share in the sermon. I ask that you would begin to exponentially bless those who are real. That way we can tell who the real ones are, because your hand of blessing will begin to rest on them. These last 6 months of 2026, I'm asking for supernatural favor to fall on those who are really walking with you, so that we can know for a fact those who have real relationship with you. And we thank you for it, and we bless you for it. Now, God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you like Nicodemus did as a born-again believer in the pardon of their sins, both in the building as well as online, I'm praying that they would just say these words: Father God, come into my heart, come into my life, save me from my sins. I believe in your Son. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I believe you put power in his hands. And I believe through him, eternal life can be mine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.